Welcome to the podcast of the United Church of Bogota. We are a Bible-based church ministering to the English-speaking community in Bogota, Colombia. We invite you to join our diverse fellowship as we encounter God in worship and experience the impact of His grace on every part of our lives and in our world. To learn more, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.
Good morning. Our passage today is John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. When we return to that, let me just introduce our passage. So my last sermon, if you were here a few weeks ago, was about sheep. And I made a reference to Jesus calling out to his sheep, "Come to me who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." My final comment at the end of my sermon was, to listen to the shepherd who is calling you, the true shepherd, Jesus Christ. Did you listen to his voice when you left? Did you go with him when he called you? Or did you wander off into the next field in search of something better? We all go through periods where we wander off. We get caught up in the daily activities of life, and we try to put our own plan in place with the purpose of achieving everything we want based on our own effort. But we soon realize it doesn't always work out. Whether it's tiredness, instability, financial burdens, ill health, or family bereavement, in those moments when we realize that all else is failing, we hear the voice of our shepherd reminding us to go back to him. So my point is, we do go back, but often only for a short while until the cycle of self-achievement, selfishness, pride, and stubbornness starts all over again. Why, when we find rest in Jesus, do we wander off again? Why are we so forgetful of what Jesus has done for us and what he can do for us? The reason is we lack faith. We lack faith so much we're unwilling to surrender everything we have to Jesus. We lack faith in the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who created each one of us. Why do we wander off from the one who created us and try to make our own way? This has been happening since the fall, when Adam and Eve turned against God and they were cast out of the garden. But today you'll hear another word, one that expects us to take a further step, a word that goes beyond the invitation to come to Jesus, and one that involves faith, commitment, and total surrender. So let me start with a few questions. How is your faith? How is your commitment to Jesus? Have you totally submitted to your Creator? How do you know you have, and what does that look like? I'll invite our scripture reader up today to read John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17.
Good morning. Today's scriptures come from John 15, 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch that and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so to prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, and my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commitment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than somebody lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for servants do not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask my Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Okay, let's pray. Dear Father, we give thanks for this morning. We give thanks for coming together to listen to your word. As we hear your word, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us to help us go beyond the surface level meaning and go deeper and see how it applies to our lives. Pray for your Holy Spirit to convict us and comfort us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So if you like an outline, 3 points today: abide in Christ, grow in Christ, and rejoice in Christ. Abide in Christ, grow in Christ, and rejoice in Christ. So point one, abide in Christ. You probably picked up on the word already, abide. I don't think it's a word that we use very often. It means to remain or stay. So when it says abide in Christ, remain in Christ or stay in Christ. But before we get into that, let me spend some time setting the scene. One commentator mentions that in the second farewell discourse, as Jesus and his disciples leave the room where the Last Supper took place and on their way to the garden, they may have passed through the temple courtyard. And as they passed through the courtyard, the light of the Passover moon would have been shining on the great golden vine that hung above the entrance of the temple. The Jewish historian Josephus says, "The gate opening into the building was, as I said, completely overlaid with gold, as was the whole wall around it. It had, moreover, above it, those golden vines from which depended grape clusters as tall as a man." And with this backdrop in mind, the commentator says, this may have been the place where Jesus gave his teaching on the true vine. In the Old Testament, Israel is depicted as the vine. If you ever planted any plant of some kind, you expect, or at least hope, that it produces something. Either it grows into a healthy plant, or it produces flowers, or a vegetable, or some fruit. Psalm 80 gives us a picture of what Israel, what God's intention was for Israel. It says, "You bought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars and its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river." But what you don't expect, if you have followed instructions and wanted and watered the plant regularly, is for it to wither and die or not bear fruit. But that is exactly what we see happening to Israel, which we read in Jeremiah chapter 2. It says, "Yet I planted you a choice vine, wholly pure of seed. How then have you turned degenerate and become a wild vine?" We have many plants in our house. Some we have managed to keep alive. Some have barely made it, and some didn't make it at all. Mainly down to our own negligence and lack of knowledge and what a plant needs to flourish. Plants need to be cared for, or they will wither and die. When cared for, they are fresh and alive and bring pleasure to the environment they reside in. But we also know that if we buy a bunch of flowers, because the flowers have been cut from their source of life, even though they are able to survive for a few days, they will eventually wither and die. Israel is the vine, and this vine was planted by God. Israel didn't produce any fruit, or if it did, it produced really rotten fruit. The fruit that was intended to be produced didn't happen. The practice of taking care of vines at this time involved two processes. They would need to be trained and they would need to be pruned. Both of these processes, if done correctly, would allow the vine to flourish and produce fruit, and if the branches would be removed if there was no intention of them producing fruit. And with that in mind, we now have a better understanding of today's passage and our opening verse, where it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." Under the Passover moon in the temple courtyard, Jesus is saying that he is the vine, the true vine. Where Israel failed to produce fruit, Jesus is saying that he came to produce fruit. Israel didn't produce fruit for the Father. Jesus has come to produce that fruit for the Father, the vine dresser. So the Father is the vine dresser, or the gardener, if you prefer, and he prunes the vineyard, which includes the vine, Jesus. And all the branches that come from the vine are the disciples. He expects good fruit to be produced from the branches that are connected to the vine. And as the gardener, the Father prunes the branches of his vines using a simple rule. And we see that in verse 2. It says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." Good fruit is only produced if it is connected to the vine. So the disciples in this context, and us as followers of Jesus, can only produce good fruit if we're connected to the vine, which is Jesus. Jesus gives life and nourishment to the branches, the disciples of Jesus. The 11 disciples are already clean through Jesus' words, because they have saving faith. Judas had already left at this point. These branches will go on to produce fruit. Judas, on the other hand, doesn't have saving faith. The word here used for pruning means to clean and purify. The Father will continue to prune the branches so that they are clean and purified and go on to produce good fruit. So to abide in Jesus is to remain or stay with him. So what is this good fruit, and how do we know if we are producing it? We produce good fruit if we're obedient to Jesus, Jesus' commands, and live a life in fellowship with him. Our whole life and our whole being, whether it be in thought, word, or deed, needs to be lived in obedience and fellowship in him. The whole life of the disciples, everything they did, was to follow Jesus' teachings through the Holy Spirit. Look what Jesus says in verses 4 to verse 6. It says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." Fruit can only be produced if you are in Jesus and he is in you. Without him, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in Christ, then he is like a branch that is disconnected from the vine. A disconnected branch only has one purpose, and that is to wither away and die. Withered and dead branches only have one destination, and that is to be thrown into the fire. So what does it mean when Jesus says, "and I in you"? He means that he remains with his disciples in fellowship. And even after he ascended into heaven, as we heard last week, even after Jesus ascended, he was still present when he came in the person of the Holy Spirit. The disciples remain obedient to Jesus, and Jesus remains with the disciples through the Holy Spirit. And through the Spirit, the disciples produce fruit. So the question is, are you producing fruit? If you think you're producing fruit, is it pleasing and glorifying to God? Or are you trying to connect yourself to another vine in the hope that it will nourish you and help you grow fruit that isn't for God, but for yourself. We try to do everything by ourselves, don't we? We try to make a success of everything, whether it is graduating from high school, going to university, choosing a career, or raising a family. Even though we may do well in all of these things, and it may seem like we are producing fruit, one thing we don't do is produce fruit. Only those who are connected to the vine are able to produce fruit. I've known many people in life that seem to produce fruit, but they're not Christians. We all know them. They seem to live a life that puts us Christians to shame. They're always nice, always helping others, always doing acts of charity. What then is the difference between them and the Christian that is connected to the vine? Both seem to be producing fruit from the outside. The difference is the good works that the Christian does is in obedience to Jesus, and this obedience glorifies the Father. The non-Christian, even though they are doing good works in the service of others, are in effect doing it for themselves because they are not giving glory to God. The true Christian heart does things for the glory of God. The non-Christian heart does things for its own glory. We cannot please God if we are not connected to the vine. Many people believe that all paths lead to God. They say, God is merciful, God is gracious, I am a good person, so why wouldn't I go to heaven when I die? The problem is, the Bible tells us that the only way to God, the true and living God, is through Jesus. We have been connected to Jesus to please and glorify the Father. Buddhists cannot please the true God. Hindus cannot please the true God. Muslims cannot please the true God. Even Jews cannot please the true God for the simple reason they're not connected to Jesus. All these people that follow these religions might be the most devout and people have ever existed. But if they don't know Jesus, it's all a waste of time. The Bible tells us, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to me but through me to the Father. There's no shortcut to the Father. The only way is through the Son. So the important question is today, and one that you should ask every day, do you abide in Jesus or do you not? In other words, having come to Jesus when he called you, do you remain in him? Now you have come, have you stayed, or have you connected to another vine? Only one vine leads to life and growth. The rest offer stagnation and lead to death. This takes me on to my main point, grow in Christ. So what about all the branches that seem connected to the vine but produce no fruit? Not all branches that are connected to the vine are nourished and grow. Matthew chapter 7 says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Not everyone who professes to be a Christian is a true Christian. Just saying prayers every day, reading your scriptures, coming to church on a Sunday, attending a midweek Bible study doesn't make you a true Christian. Being baptized doesn't make you a true Christian, nor does professing the name of Jesus. None of this matters if the life you lead outside all of this is contrary to what Jesus commands. Saying one thing and doing another are two different things. If we do what is contrary to what the Lord expects of us, we're just hypocrites. Verse 9 tells us, this passage talks about obedience to Jesus' commands, but we don't do these things to gain favor and have a better relationship with Jesus. Our works don't increase our merit and brownie points with the Lord. Our obedience and the life we lead is in response to what Jesus did for us and does for us. It's funny what happens when you're in the process of preparing a sermon. Just this week, I was talking to a colleague who then became distracted by the plant that was hanging next to us. He then proceeded to explain that some of the branches on the plant had not been pruned down to the next knuckle in the stem, and the extra bit that remained after the knuckle would soon wither, die, and fall off. The point being, even though the stem was connected to the plant, it wouldn't receive the nutrition it needed to remain alive. Even though it's connected to the vine, it would experience no further growth. If a branch cannot bear fruit any longer, it is cut off. In other words, those who do not obey Jesus will be cut off. We see this at the Last Supper with Judas Iscariot. Judas was connected to the vine. He spent 3 years walking and talking with Jesus and learning from him. He wasn't connected to the vine. He was connected to the vine and he drank of the vine, but no fruit was produced. He didn't rely on the vine for his nourishment and growth. He just went through the motions of being a follower of Jesus, but he never produced any fruit. All of our being needs to be in accordance with Jesus' commands, how we think, what we say, and how we relate to others. Psalm 19 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." So where our heart is often comes out in our prayers. How often do we pray just to ask the things we need? And when we don't get an answer, we wonder why. What then does verse 7 mean when it says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you"? If we abide in Christ and are obedient to the things we have heard according to his words, why then do we not get what we wished for? When we pray, our prayers need to be in his name and according to his teaching and his will. A teaching and a will that glorifies the Father, and a teaching and will that is in line with what he desires for us. As we live our lives according to his will, where we are going through a process of sanctification, our will becomes more like Jesus, and as a result, if we are praying according to his will, whatever we wish for will be done for us. Growth in bearing fruit was the outcome of the disciples' entire life and ministry. By living according to God's commands, they started to reflect a character that is more in line with God's. In other words, those that bear fruit are showing themselves to be true disciples. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, to live according to his commands. And as we live out those commands in obedience because of what Christ did for us through his love. Verse 9 tells us, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." Jesus lived his life in response to the love the Father had for him. And we should live our lives in response to what Jesus did for us. He created us and he loves us. The Father loves the Son and the Son loves his disciples. The Father gave glory to the Son and he loves him. We see this when the Father places everything in the care of Jesus, and with everything in his care, he shows his love in the way he lived his life. To experience the love that Jesus has for us, he tells us to remain in his love. We are to remain in fellowship, and when we do, we will experience his love. Verse 10 says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Jesus remained in his Father's love by being obedient to his commands. Likewise, to remain in Jesus, the disciples kept his commands. So I've seen that being connected to the true vine brings both nourishment, growth, and the bearing of fruit that pleases the Father. But it also brings something else. When we have that intimate relationship with the Creator of life, we find rest and peace and contentment, and most of all, joy. Which brings me on to my third and final point, rejoice in Christ. When you hear the word joy, what do you think of? Being happy, laughing, having fun, experiencing pleasure? When was the last time that you felt joy? When was the last time you felt a joy that lasted a long time? Why did that joy come to an end? We may go through our week experiencing moments of joy until it's disturbed by another thought or another problem that comes and pushes it out. From my own experience in life, when I'm only thinking of myself and trying to implement my own agenda, I may have moments of joy, but most often I feel tired, anxious, and fed up. You know what takes that all away? Not thinking about myself, but thinking about someone else and how I could serve them better. There's one sure way to feel joy, and that is when you do something to help someone else. Selfless, sacrificial service. That is where fruit is produced. Not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of someone else and the service of God. When I was around 17, 18 years old, I used to work as a labourer in a welding and fabricating factory. It involved lots of lifting, cutting, drilling, digging, pushing, pulling, and stacking things. If you ever worked in work like that, you know the feeling at the end of the day when you feel you have done a good day's work. You go to bed exhausted, but satisfied. As the proverb says, sweet is the sleep of the labourer. No matter how satisfying that feeling is, and no matter how much joy and satisfaction it brings, it is nothing compared to the work you put into serving others. Is there any greater feeling than we are doing something good for something else, for someone else? That is true satisfaction, and in that you get a taste of true joy. But even that is temporary, because what you find is, just after you feel you have accomplished something wonderful, and you still have that smile on your face, and you have that warm feeling in your heart, something or someone just around the corner comes and knocks it all down. But there's a place of true joy, and that no one can knock down. Jesus tells us that through obedience to his commands, true joy may be found. Verse 11 says, do all these things and so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is a joy that is not temporary or only half full, but a joy that comes from Jesus. He fills the empty void that we always experience in our hearts. Jesus' joy came from doing what the Father commanded. Likewise, the joy that disciples felt came from doing the will of Jesus. But we know that's not easy for us. We need training and we need pruning, just like the branches connected to the vine. We all need to be trained and pruned in order for us to produce more fruit. Although this pruning might be painful for us, it is for our own benefit. Our Father loves us and cares for us and knows what is best for us. I'm always amazed at the level of detail in some sculptures that some sculptures contain. These sculptures started off in a quarry as a block of stone that was cut from the side of a mountain before being transported to an artist's workshop. Imagine that big dusty block stood in the middle of the workshop. The artist walked around it many times, trying to visualize the plan he had or from the drawings before taking the hammer and chisel to something that has no form. Through hours, weeks, months, and years of gradually chipping away at this block of nothing, gradually an image appears. Its rough edges gradually become smooth, an image from the mind of the sculptor. Sometimes the artist only needs to smooth things off, but other times he needs to take a hammer and chisel to the more stubborn areas in order for his creation to take shape, leading to the gradual sanctification of his creation in order to be more like Christ. Even though we're connected to the vine and receiving the life it is giving us, we may feel we're going through seasons of fruitlessness. Those long days of work where you feel like you're stuck in a rut. The daily grind, day after day. Get up, make breakfast, get ready for work, get the kids ready, go to work, come home, prepare for tomorrow, have dinner, work a bit more, go to bed, and then get up and do it all over again. What do you do in such times? Do you struggle through these days with your head down, thinking that this season is going to go on forever, gradually drifting away from God because you feel like he is not close? Or do you move towards the vine of life, knowing that if you stay close to Jesus, he will guide you and nourish you and bring you out of the other end? During these seasons, we're being pruned by the vine dresser. We need to go through hard times. We need to be pruned and shaped so that we gradually become the person that our Lord wants us to be. Someone once said that God is still at work, even in the most mundane of circumstances. When life seems boring and you feel that no fruit is being produced, God is still working hard in those circumstances, and at some point the fruit will appear. But for that to happen, we need to remain in the vine. We need to remain in Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 says, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." When this training and pruning comes to fruition, what do we see? We see people that live as Christ taught, loving one another in friendship, where we confide in one another and help one another. Jesus took this seriously, and because of the depth of love he had for his friends, he laid down his life so that they may live. If you're a Christian today, that is one who professes Christ and lives a life in accordance with his commands. Be reminded of this. You were chosen by Christ to do the will, his will, and bear fruit in order to glorify the Father. You were known before the foundation of the world, and you were chosen to be trained and pruned so that one day, through Christ, regardless of your flaws and all your sins, you would become perfect. We often forget this, but is there anything better in life? All the money, all the material possessions, the perfect health, and a long life are nothing compared to being chosen by God and his promise that you will live with him forever and eternity. If you are not connected to the vine today, for whatever reason, it's time to sort that out before the vine dresser cuts you loose. Bind yourself to the vine to receive the nourishment, growth, life, and hope that is offered, because if you don't, there is no hope. There's only one way to the Father, and that is through the Son. The Son who gave us all hope when he entered into his own creation in order to save his own creation. By going to the cross and dying for all those who might believe in him so that they might live. Know the Son, go to the Son, and abide in the Son, the true vine, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, we give thanks for this word today. Father, we realize that we all wander like sheep, and we wander away from the vine of life, your Son, Jesus Christ, who nourishes us, who helps us grow, and gives us life. We give thanks for his sacrifice on the cross, and we pray, Father, as we go about our week, this word will be written on our hearts so we can apply it to the situations we are in and the situations of others. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Let us stand.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information or would like to support the ministry of UCB, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.